Chapter 4. 0711 hours, August 30, 2552, military calendar. Epsilon Eridani system, Longhorn Valley, planet Reach. The alarm hooted, and Zawaz swang to his feet with a startled yelp. The squat alien, a grunt clad in burnished orange armor, fumbled and dropped his motion scanner. He keened in fear and retrieved the device with a trembling claw. If the scanner had been damaged, the elites would use his body as reactor shielding. If his masters learned he'd been asleep at his post, they might do far worse than kill him. They might give him to the jackals. Zawaz shuddered. Fortunately, the scanner still worked, and the diminutive alien sighed with relief. Three contacts rapidly approached the mountain that separated Zawaz's cadre from the distant human forces. He reached for the warning klaxon, but relaxed as his detector identified the contacts, Banshee flyers. He peered over the dirt edge of his protective hole to confirm this. He spotted three of the bulbous aircraft on approach. Zawaz snorted. It was odd that the flight wasn't listed on his patrol schedule. He considered alerting his superiors, then thought better of it. What if they were elites on some secret mission? No, it was best not to question such things. Be ignored, live another day. That was his creed. He nestled back into his hole, reset the motion detector to long range, and prayed it wouldn't go off again. He curled into a tight ball and promptly fell into a deep sleep. Fred led their flying wedge formation. The purple and red airships arced up and over the treetops of the ridge, gaining as much altitude as the Banshee could manage, about 300 meters. As he cleared the top, what he saw made him ease off the throttle. The valley was 10 kilometers across and sloped before him, thick with Douglas firs that thinned and gave way to trampled fields and the Bighorn River beyond. Camped in the fields were thousands upon thousands of Covenant troops. Their mass covered the entire valley, and thin, smoke-choked sunlight glinted off a sea of red, yellow, and blue armor. They moved in tight columns and swarmed along the river's edge, so many that it looked like someone had kicked over the largest anthill in existence. And they were building. Hundreds of flimsy, white, dome-shaped tents were being erected, atmosphere pits for the methane-breathing grunts. Farther back were the oddly polyhedral huts of the elite units, guarded by a long line of dozens of beetle-like wraith tanks. Guard towers punctuated the valley. They spiraled up from mobile treaded bases, 10 meters tall, and topped with plasma turrets. The rules had indeed changed. In more than 100 battles, Fred had never seen the Covenant set up encampments of such magnitude. All they did was kill. Floating behind all this activity, almost brushing against the far hills, the Covenant cruiser sat 30 meters off the ground. It looked like a great bloated fish with stubby stabilizing fins. Its gravity lift was in operation, a tube of scintillating energy that moved matter to and from the ground. Stacks of purple crates gently floated down from the craft. In the afternoon light, he could see its weapons bristling along its length, casting spider-like shadows across its hull. Their Banshees leveled out, and Fred dropped back to tighten his formation with Kelly and Joshua. He glanced again at the enemy ship and the guard towers. One good hit from those weapons could take them out. Fred saw other Banshee patrols circling the valley. He frowned. If they passed them, the enemy pilots would almost certainly demand to know their business, and there was no way of knowing what the established patrol routes were. That meant he'd have to take an alternate flight path, straight down the middle, and straight over the Covenant horde. They'd only need one run to do this. They'd probably only get one run. He activated a comm frequency.
Go!
Kelly hit the acceleration and glided toward the cruiser. Fred fell in behind her. He armed the fuel rod gun built into the Banshee. They were 6 kilometers from the cruiser when Kelly achieved the maximum speed of her flyer. Grunts and jackals in the fields below craned their necks as the Spartans flashed over them. They had to go faster. Fred felt every Covenant eye watching them. He dived, trading his altitude for acceleration, and Joshua and Kelly did the same. Communication symbols flashed across his Banshee's windshield display. The UNSC software built into their armor worked only with some of the spoken Covenant languages, not their written words. Odd, curling characters scrolled across the Banshee's displays. Fred hit one of the response symbols. There was a pause. The display cleared, and dozens more symbols flashed, twice as fast. Fred clicked the display off. 3 kilometers to go, and his heart beat so hard he heard it thunder in his ears. Kelly pulled slightly ahead of them. She was now 30 meters off the ground, gaining as much speed as she could, driving straight for the cruiser's gravity lift. The nearest guard tower tracked her. Its plasma cannon flared and fired. Kelly's flyer climbed and banked to evade the enemy fire. The bolt of superheated ionized gas brushed against her starboard fuselage. Energy spray melted the Banshee's front fairing, and her ship slowed. A dozen plasma turrets turned to track them. Fred banked and opened fire. Energy bursts from the Banshee's primary weapons strafed the guard tower. Joshua did the same, and a river of fire streaked toward the towers. Fred hit the firing stud for the Banshee's heavy weapon, and a sphere of energy arced into the base of the tower. It began a gradual tilt, then collapsed. Kelly hadn't fired. Fred glanced her way and saw that she now stood in a low crouch atop her racing Banshee. She had 1 foot under the duct tape that had secured the nuke and now held the bomb in her hand, cocking it back to throw. A shard of jagged crystal, a round from a Covenant needler, pinged off Fred's port shield. He snapped a look below. Covenant grunts and jackals boiled in agitation. 100 badly aimed shots arced up after him. Glistening clouds of crystalline needles and firefly plasma bolts swarmed through the air and chipped away at his Banshee's fuselage. Fred jinked his Banshee left and right and dodged plasma bolts from the 3 guard towers tracking him. He lined up for a second strafing run, and the Banshee's lighter energy weapons sent grunts scattering. 100 meters to go. Kelly leaned back, coiled her body, and ready to throw the nuclear device as if it were a shot put. The Covenant cruiser came to life, and its weapons tracked the Banshees. 12 fingers of plasma ripped the air. White-blue arcs of fire reached for them. 1 bolt connected with Joshua's ship. The Banshees' improvised shields overloaded and vanished. The canards of the flyer melted and bent. The alien airship lurched into a spin as its control surfaces warped, and Joshua fell behind Fred and Kelly just as they entered the gravity lift of the craft. Fred keyed his comm to raise Joshua, but got only static. Time seemed to slow inside the beam of purple light that ferried goods and troops to and from the belly of the ship. The strange glow surrounded them and made his skin tingle as if it were asleep. Their Banshees rose toward an opening in the underside of the carrier. They weren't riding into the ship, though. They were traveling too fast and would cross the beam before they were 3/4 of the way to the top. Fred snapped around. He didn't see Joshua anywhere. Plasma beams hit the well and were deflected as if it were a giant glass lens. Kelly hurled the nuke straight up into the gullet of the cruiser. Fred wrenched the Banshee's controls and arced the craft under the edge of the ship. Kelly was right behind him. The light vanished and they emerged on the far side of the Covenant vessel. Behind them, distorted through the gravity lift, Fred saw Covenant troops firing their weapons into the sky. He heard 10,000 voices screaming for blood. Fred pinged Joshua on the comm, but his acknowledgement light remained dark. He wanted to slow and turn back for him, but Kelly dived, accelerating toward the ground, and she entered the forest that carpeted the mountainside. Fred followed her. They were scant meters above the ground. They dodged trees and blasted through tangles of foliage. A handful of stray shots flashed overhead. They flew at top speed and didn't look back. They emerged from the tree line and over the powdered snow of the mountaintop. They arced over a granite ridge, came about, and throttled back. The Banshees drifted slowly to the ground. The sky turned white. Fred's faceplate polarized to its darkest setting. Thunder rolled through his body. Fire and molten metal blossomed over the ridge, boiled skyward, and rained back into the valley. The granite top of the intervening mountain shattered into dust, and the snow on their side melted in muddy rivulets. Fred's visor slowly depolarized. Kelly leaned across her banshee. Blood oozed from her armor's left shoulder joint. She fumbled for her helmet seal, caught it, and peeled it off her head. "Did we get him?" she panted. Blood foamed from the corner of her mouth. "I think so," Fred told her. She looked around. "Joshua?" Fred shook his head. "He got hit on the way in." It had been easy for him to fly into the face of certain death moments ago. Saying those words was 100 times harder. Kelly slumped and dropped her head against her banshee. "Stay here. I'm going up to take a look." Fred powered up his banshee and rose parallel with the ridgeline. He nudged the craft up a little farther and got his first look into the valley. It was a sea of flame. Hundreds of fires dotted the cracked, glassy ground. Where the Bighorn River had snaked along, there was now only a long, steaming furrow. There was no trace of the cruiser or the Covenant troops that had filled the valley moments ago. All that remained was a field of smoldering, twisted bone and metal. At the edge of this carnage stood blackened sticks, the remnants of the forest, all leaning away from the center of the explosion. 10,000 Covenant deaths. It wasn't worth losing Joshua or any of the other Spartans, but it was something. Perhaps they had bought enough time for the orbital MAC guns to tip the battle overhead in the fleet's favor. Maybe their sacrifices would save Reach. That would be worth it. He looked up into the sky. The steam made it difficult to see anything, but there was motion overhead. Faint shadows glided over the clouds. Kelly's banshee appeared alongside his, and their canards bumped. The shadows overhead sharpened. 3 Covenant cruisers broke through the clouds and drifted toward the generator complex. Their plasma artillery flickered and glowed with energy. Fred snapped open his comm channel and boosted the signal strength to its maximum. "Delta team, fall back! Fall back now!" Static hissed over the channel, and several voices overlapped. He heard one of his Spartans, he couldn't tell who, break through the static.
"Reactor Complex 7 has been compromised! We're falling back! Might be able to save number 3!
There was a pause as the speaker shouted orders to someone else.
"Set off those charges, now!"
Fred switched to Fleetcom and broadcast. "Be advised, Pillar of Autumn. Groundside reactors are being taken. Orbital guns at risk. Nothing we can do. Too many. We'll have to use the nukes. Be advised, orbital MAC guns will most likely be neutralized. Pillar of Autumn, do you read? Acknowledge." More voices crowded the channel, and Fred thought he heard Admiral Whitcomb's voice, but whatever orders he issued were incomprehensible. Then, there was only static. And then the comm went dead. The cruisers fired salvos of plasma that burned the sky. Distant explosions thumped, and Fred strained to see if there was any return fire, any sign that his Spartans were fighting or retreating. Their only hope was movement. The enemy firepower would shred a fixed position.
"Fall back!" he hissed. "Now, damn it!"
Kelly tapped him on the shoulder and pointed up. The clouds parted like a curtain drawn as a fireball 100 meters across roared over their position. He saw the faint outlines of dozens of Covenant battleships in low orbit.
"Plasma bombardment," Fred whispered.
He'd seen this before. They all had. When the Covenant conquered a human world, they fired their main plasma batteries at the planet. Fired until its oceans boiled, and nothing was left but a globe of broken glass.
"That's it," Kelly murmured. "We've lost. Reach is going to fall."
Fred watched as the plasma impacted upon the horizon, and the sky turned white, then faded to black as millions of tons of ash and debris blotted out the sun.
"Maybe," Fred said. He gunned his banshee. "Maybe not. Come on, we're not done yet.